program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. Today, June, is Inauguration Day in the United States, and we inaugurated a new president and vice president this afternoon, actually at 12 noon today that happened, and they had some remarks, of course, and Joe Biden issued an inaugural address. What are some of the highlights from that you noted?
Well, last night I took the farewell address of the former president and then the incoming president. I wanted to make, I did not know what he, I did know he would talk about unity because that was something he has continued to speak about. And so as for the particulars, I like the beginning. You know, this is America's day. This is democracy's day, a day of history and hope, of renewal and resolve. And the theme of democracy, thank God we have a democracy, that we, that I live, you live, most who are living, hearing this right now, live in a democracy. And it says we celebrate the triumph, not of a candidate, but of a cause, the cause of democracy. And you think about it, many, many, many political contests are filled with strong language, opposing, this is me speaking. This is one thing about the United States of America. We typically allow free speech. Now, you're not allowed to yell fire in a theater when there's no fire. But the issue is, we're known that we can, that it's called freedom of speech. We have a constitution that allows freedom of speech, even though right now there's a great deal of that being shut down. Not by the political candidates, but this is a major problem that we have. That is a threat to our democracy. But going on with what President Biden said, now on this hallowed ground where just days ago violence sought to shake the capital, this capital's very foundation, we come together as one nation, under God, indivisible, to carry out the peaceful transfer of power as we have for more than two centuries. And that is true. There is, I've not yet met one person, conservative, liberal, it doesn't matter. Everyone I know, everyone I've heard on any broadcast, they all feel that what know that what and say what they experienced watching the invasion, the incursion into the Capitol. Everyone's against that. That does not represent any political party. It does not represent quote unquote law and order, because that's what has been communicated by the conservatives. They kept talking about law and order, law and order. So all of that that went on, this is not heralded as patriotic in any way. But some of what was being said was in contrast to what did take place. We need to look at this from a consistency standpoint for the whole year, not just one incident. You have to look and adopt these pieces that are being presented here. Because, and I did appreciate this, Biden said, the right, he said, that's democracy, that's America, the right to dissent peaceably within the guardrails of our republic is perhaps our nation's greatest strength. And he said, yet hear me clearly, disagreement must not lead to disunion. So the fact that there is disagreement on specifics, the key is, are we listening? He said, can we see each other not as adversaries but as neighbors? Can we treat each other with dignity and respect? We should all do. I don't care what side we're on. This is right. Can we join forces, stop the shouting, lower the temperature? For without unity, there is no peace, only bitterness and fury. And he said, let us start afresh. Let us listen to one another. Now, I hope that really does happen. Let us listen to one another. Are you really hearing when there are objections? Are you hearing the other side? Let us show respect to one another. Politics need not be a raging fire destroying everything in its path. Every disagreement doesn't have to be a cause for total war. That's right. But the listening part is what we absolutely, I'm talking about not just hearing the words, understanding. And indeed, the call was, we will be sustained by faith, driven by conviction. I do pray for our country.
Do you have a heart for people who are hurting and broken? You want to throw them a lifeline, but sometimes you just don't know how. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training designed just for you. Using video-based instruction from leading experts, plus relevant case studies and interactive exercises, you can discover how to effectively provide support, encouragement, and spiritual care. The ultimate goal is to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This 10-week Lifeline to Hope program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church and community. Be the person in your church that brings together caregivers to become better equipped to meet the hurting. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. Lifelinetohope.org.
In these challenging times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, and fear due to the unknowns a global pandemic can bring to daily life. What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear is a free download from Hope for the Heart. You'll discover what Scripture says on these issues and see how God cares about the struggles we face in life. Simply go to hopefortheheart.org/COVID to download your free resource titled, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? It's quick and easy to get your digital copy of this free resource that is filled with hope for these troubling times. That title again is, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? You can find it at hopefortheheart.org/COVID. That's hopefortheheart.org/COVID.
Hope in the Night, a ministry of Hope for the Heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We are here because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of our ministry, and we thank you so much for that. If you have questions about these or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living sure to address your particular situation. Call customer support now at 800-488-HOPE. And you can ask for the keys for living called Conflict Resolution, Solving Your People Problems. Also, communication, getting to the heart of the matter. Those are conflict resolution and communication. You can ask for those by name as you get in touch with us at 800-488-4673. Also, check out our website at hopefortheheart.org/store. Find the new updated keys for living there. the Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's biblical resources. It's all there. It can be found at hopefortheheart.org/store. We want to welcome back to our program tonight, listening in Maine and usually online, which you can do as well at hopefortheheart.org. Easy to listen there. Just find the click to listen button, and you can find current and past programs there as well. Tonight, we welcome back Esther.
Well, hello, Esther. We do welcome you back. How can we help you?
Hi. So I kind of wanted to continue my discussion that we started last time I called about how I'm trying to help a friend who has asked to do a Bible study with me and kind of wants to do like a discipleship thing with me. But she has been physically and mentally abused by her father. So I'm, trying to figure out how to go about this.
So she has asked you, she wants to be in this Bible study. Is this what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. And is this the person, I think, when you called before, you were not convinced that she understood what it meant to have, I'm going to use my language, a changed life through Christ.
That's kind of, I'm working on that with her, but I'm not 100% sure if she's, committed her life to Christ.
Okay. And you mentioned her father being physically and, well, abusive. Is that also, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, I believe?
Yeah.
It was verbal abuse. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so is he in her life right now?
Yeah. Yep. They do have a relationship. It's obviously strained. The abuse happened when she was younger, a younger child. And she's in her mid-30s now. So she does have a relationship with him, but it's, she holds it at an arm's length.
And was there a kind of relationship that she had with him where he had power over her? Was she fearful of him? What was the dynamic there of what you know?
I definitely think at one point she was under control. Under him, she also, they grew up in a Christian home, where they were made to go to church and stuff like that. But it was almost done in like an angry way, like probably some legalism there. Like the abuse would happen and then slap a smile on your face and we're going to go to church and you're going to stand in the row and you're going to sing and, basically you're going to act like everything's perfect.
And what was her mother like with all this going on?
Her mother didn't know how far the abuse had gone physically. I think she might have known some of it, but I don't think she knew the full extent of it. But he was also very controlling with her, too. I'm not sure if there was, I don't think there was a abuse in their relationship, but physical. There was obviously mental and emotional abuse. But I don't know about physical.
One thing that often helps tremendously is to hear truth being presented without it. It doesn't have to be, now look at your situation. In other words, there are those who think, oh, everything needs to be a confrontation, but that's really not accurate, because truth by itself sets people free, meaning there are times when people can be too intimidated to, in essence, buttonhole a person and say, you need to face what went on. My point is, a lot of times when all of a sudden people see who grew up in a very difficult home life, and they see, oh, all fathers are not like this. And by the way, that would be my situation. Now, my father was not at all trying to get us to go to church. He told me, you know, he said Christianity's a crutch, and so he had not been in church for 40 years until my mom was on the scene. The point is, we ended up being, oddly enough, because of my father, in a biblically based church. Not that he knew anything about the Bible, but he didn't want us to be where we were. And so now I'm watching loving fathers. I'm seeing with my own eyes a tone about church. I'd never heard the Bible taught. I hadn't heard preaching from the Word of God. And so just being exposed to, wow, whatever this is nothing like what I was exposed to. And it was profound. So I'm saying that I hear what you're saying. It was a legalistic kind of church, angry church. And there are, this is unfortunate, because there are some churches that are this way. And then the contrary to that, the opposite, is a grace-filled church. Grace means that God, and if we look at the aspect of the Lord himself, our God is a God of grace. That means it's not being grace as in, oh, she's such a graceful woman, the way she treats people with her kind words. Grace instead means giving someone a gift they don't deserve. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened when Jesus was willing to literally sacrifice his life for us. We had sinned, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all blown it, we've all chosen wrong. And the problem is, the Bible says that our sin separates us from God. So we've all sinned. And yet, the Lord Jesus did not want us to be separated throughout eternity. And that is the why of him coming to earth. He came to earth literally as born of a virgin, yet he was fully God and human. And the beauty is, when we were not even aware, those who were on earth not understanding who he was, all these prophecies about him coming as from being born of a virgin, that literally you see the prophecies, the messianic prophecies of what this Messiah, the word Messiah means, the same thing as the word Christ. Christ is the anointed one. He came to earth to literally, as a gift of grace. We didn't deserve him dying on the cross, paying the penalty that we should pay, except we really couldn't pay for our own sin. So since he committed no sin, and he literally died on our behalf, then our responsibility is to receive him as our personal Lord and Savior, giving him control of our life. Then we are fully forgiven of all of our sin. Now, that is an extraordinary gift of grace. Grace, mm-hmm. Giving someone a gift they don't deserve. So what I'm saying is, sometimes people like me, at one time, had never been exposed to the concept of grace. I hadn't heard about it. I didn't know that there was a God of grace. I didn't grow up in a legalistic church. I grew up in a church where there just, there was Jesus who hung on the cross, and that's it. But there, it was kind of do good, just be a good person. So it was social gospel, and so I had no concept. I needed to see the real thing. But what I'm saying is, I know people who grew up in a legalistic church, and once they come to a church that is grace-filled, not, yelling at the parishioners, yelling at the congregation, and threatening, but showing how wonderful it is to come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, very candidly, people don't hear me presenting, if you don't respond to God, you're going to go to hell. I choose to not. I mean, it's true, there is a place, hell. I mean, it is a location. I don't want anybody going there. But I want people to be drawn to Christ himself. I want them to respond, not just afraid, and so I'll pray a prayer for fire insurance. Many times that is the case. People have prayed a prayer because they don't want to go to hell, and they think that therefore they're saved.
Addiction, abuse, violence, grief and loss, depression and suicide, marital and family stress. These are only some of the problems the church faces today. As a pastor, you may feel overwhelmed with the needs of those in your church and community. As a first responder within your faith community, how do you manage the crisis around you? Imagine raising up those in your church to come alongside you, helping you meet the needs of hurting people. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training program for your church. This 10-week video-based program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers and help you launch a dynamic caregiving ministry. Equip your church to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their lives. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get back to our caller in a moment. Our customer support team is ready to take calls at 800-488-HOPE. They can help guide you to God's hope through our resources. We want to mention the keys for living called salvation, entering arguments, overcoming objections. That's available as you get in touch with us. Again, the number is 800-488-4673. If you would like to speak with June about something going on in your life, a specific situation you'd like some direction on to get biblical hope and practical help on that situation in your life, and you'd like to do that on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT. The number's 17. Just call and follow the prompts. Leave us a detailed message so we can get back to you and schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17. Spelled out, that's 800-644-4817. We look forward to hearing from you. Let's get back to our call now with Esther.
Well, Esther, the reason I'm thinking about this is in regard to your friend, who I believe is a family member from last time when we talked. What's wonderful is that your care is going to speak volumes to her. And one of the things that is essential is we are sending, I know, we sent two copies of Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes to you, but then something happened. So now it's just for you to know, they've been sent again at the end of this last week.
I just got them yesterday, too, so I'm excited.
Okay. And the thing that you can do, there are two ways to do this for seeing yourself through God's eyes, because the whole point is to understand when a person becomes a true, authentic Christian, all these things take place. This is what this is about. These are I am statements. I'm adopted by God. I'm a child of God. That's day two. Day three, I'm precious to God. Day four, I'm accepted by God. Day five, I'm called by name by God. By the way, there are people who start going through this, and then it dawns on them that they really have not entered into that relationship with Christ. But as you go along, you see all these things that happen, because very candidly, the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, when you enter into his family, that person's a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. And what's new is you have Christ living in you. Because I can remember hearing certain scriptures. Of course, I wasn't exposed to any, so everything was new. But I'd never even knew the concept of it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. In you, I thought, in you. I thought you just are supposed to believe that Jesus, I knew that, I learned that there was a scripture, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, not knowing that the word believe actually means to rely upon, to trust in. It's not just mental assent. I didn't know that. So the thing is, what's going to be special about this is, if you're going to do this Bible study, and you are, this is what you're saying. And by the way, is this going to be a weekly Bible study, or how are you planning on doing this?
Yeah, so I think we're going to take one day per week.
Okay.
And just kind of like go through it pretty detailed is what I'm thinking and hoping.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, and not too much because she gets overwhelmed very easily with this stuff. I've given her other Bible journals and devotionals, and she just kind of gets lost with it and doesn't fully understand it. So I told her that this is technically like a month's study, but I was thinking we could take one day for the week.
Good.
Just
that's
so
great.
She doesn't get overwhelmed.
Uh-huh. It's just two pages, and that's the point. I wanted to make sure anybody could do it. When you start, it's going to be on your identity in Christ, meaning before you even get to day one, to explain identity. Because, you know, we don't go around saying, oh, this is my identity. I mean, that's not language that I'm aware of. And now, only way I know about identity being used is identity fraud. If somebody steals your credit card or takes a number of your that's personal for you, and then all of a sudden you have charges, you know. So we use that word identity fraud in our culture, but most people don't use the word identity by itself, but it's huge. And so it's basically, these are just practical illustrations that, and by the way, I just am so impressed with you. This is really tremendous, because it's like you're really committed to helping her have her eyes opened.
Yeah.
And you want her healed.
I do.
This is extraordinary. So, and I remember, well, you had mentioned in the previous time that I think that there were some challenges that she had with anxiety and depression. And, you know, what I can do is go on also and send you something in that vein. So while you're doing the Bible study, if you want, you can also turn to this other material we have, because we basically have like 100 topics, but things that you've mentioned would be anxiety, depression. When someone is bipolar, it helps for them to understand what to do, knowing that you want to help her. It'll give you some insight. In fact, that will be actually very helpful for you initially because I'm just so impressed with your care.
Many people
just kind of, well, so and so has a problem, and I wish they'd get their act together. And they go, well, you know, but you're saying, no, I care for that she have healing in her life. You know, she's in her 30s. Well, she's got 2/3 of her life yet to live. And this is wonderful, sweetheart. I'm so impressed with you. So I think the issue is you're going to start out talking about, that's in the book, on identity. What does it mean, your identity? But it's like if you go to a bank, but unfortunately you have amnesia. Now, if you walk up to a teller and say, I know that I have an account here, and I need to withdraw $100. And if they say to you, and yet you're the one who has amnesia, would you tell me your account number, please? And you say, I'm sorry, I don't remember my account number. But would you give me your name, please? I'm sorry, I don't have my name. Are you going to be able to walk out with your $100?
No.
No. So that which has been invested for you, you can't withdraw. It's in an account. It's all for you. It's like there's spiritual blessing. There's all that could be withdrawn, but if you don't know who you are, and many, many, many people, they have spiritual amnesia.
Yeah.
They don't know who they are.
That's a good way to put it.
Likewise, if you try to board a plane, and you say, well, I know there's a ticket in my name. Well, what is your name? I'm sorry, I can't tell you. And the only reason is you have spiritual amnesia, or you have amnesia. Well, you're not going to be able to, they're not going to give you a ticket. You don't even know your name. So,
right.
In that respect, your identity determines your inheritance, what you can literally, it's like the blessing bank from God. Your identity determines your destination, where you're going. And we know that it makes a difference when a person has their identity clear once they have become authentic Christians. And then we explain, this is all before you get to starting with day one, I'm adopted by God. So many people actually pray to receive Christ at the end of reading about their identity, because they all of a sudden realize, oh, wait a minute, I want my identity to be in Christ, not in the family of Adam, but in the family of Christ. And so that'll, I think when you, now that you have it, why don't you just go on and read through that introductory area? It's only about 5 pages that explain your identity. And so you'll be able to understand where you're going. And then, fortunately, this devotional is interactive. So
yeah.
All you're going to do is read basically a page, and then both of you look up a scripture. Typically, it's 2 scriptures, and you personalize them in your own words, not just what do they say, but it's like, how would you say it? And then you write a prayer back to God. Father, through your eyes, I see that I have been adopted by God. So you could really be so helpful here to, and it's fine to do a day at a time. Some people, even though it's a 31-day devotional, some people do 5 days at one time, and instead of trying to go every single day. But the main thing is that you're absorbing the truth. And that's what she needs to do is, and you can talk about, wow, you know, what can you imagine being, by God's design, you're adopted? And, of course, we explain, what does that really mean? But I'm going to do this. I'll go on and send you our material I think I'll send you depression. And then later on, if you want our material on anxiety, you can get that. But that way it'll give you a lot of very helpful, practical information. And in regard to the approach that I took on this, we are body, soul, and spirit. In the body, there are certain things you can do for depression. For your soul is the mind, will, and emotions. So I have what you do for your mind, what you do for your will, what you do for your emotions, and then body, soul, and spirit, what you do spiritually. So there are all kinds of things, practical application. My friend, you continue to hang on to hope.
Caregivers come from different backgrounds, education, and experience, but they all have one thing in common: a desire to help those who are hurting. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new caregiver training offered by Hope for the Heart. This 10-week video-based program can help you deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church. Biblical caregivers who can help meet the needs of hurting people, connecting lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This comprehensive training shows the biblical model for caregiving and includes sessions on effective listening, crisis intervention, family dynamics, having a ministry of presence, and more. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us that where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you are listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of Hope for the Heart, and we want to thank you for your prayers and support of our ministry. And it is so crucial to us that you support in that way. If you are interested in tonight's topics, call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE and ask for the keys for living called Depression, Walking from Darkness into the Dawn. Also, Identity and Self-Image, Knowing What's True About You. We have those. Those are keys for living. I want to mention also, especially here at the beginning of a year, it would be great to start a devotional that we have. And June mentioned it earlier. It's called Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes. It's a 31-day devotional. And just because it's later in the month, it is not too late ever to start this. And you can pick up right from the beginning and walk through that book. It will help you to see really who you are in God's sight and in God's knowledge of you, to know what He knows about you. And so very important to get that perspective and that understanding of really who you are and whose you are, who you belong to. So call us at 800-488-4673, and we can get those materials into your hands. Just order them there from customer support. You know, for over 30 years, the biblical resources June Hunt has created have helped people with some of their most intimate and darkest struggles, like anger, loneliness, grief, chronic illness. This has been through radio, conferences, and books. The internet is now our next mission field as we produce some 400 hours of faith-based iHope videos on these topics and more. Right now, there's someone with a hurting heart, someone who needs to hear God's solutions to their situation. Maybe it's even your friends or family or neighbors. They're surfing the internet and looking for answers. For your monthly gift to this ministry of $30 or more, you can support this iHope video project and also receive for your shelf and for your personal use, the Counseling Through Your Bible Handbook. That's, again, for a $30 monthly gift. We will thank you deeply for that, and also send as our thanks Counseling Through Your Bible Handbook. Just go to hopefortheheart.org. That's hopefortheheart.org. That's the easiest way to give to use your phone or computer, and just visit that website. Also, you can call at 800-488-HOPE. But right there where you have probably your phone handy right now, you can go to hopefortheheart.org and give. Every dollar goes directly to broadcast airtime to reach more people. So thank you for that. Let's get back to our conversation with Esther.
By the way, Esther, I don't know if you knew that in this, I know you just received the two books that Jeff was just talking about, Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes. But at the back, did you know that there's a study guide, if you're leading a study group? Did you know that?
I just saw that earlier today when I was going through, when I was kind of going through it, because I'm meeting with her on Saturday. I'm having breakfast with her, and then since I got the books in time, which I'm very happy about, we're going to go ahead and start this. So I think I'm going to start with the introduction that you said it looks like it might be about 5 pages.
Right.
So I think I'm going to start. I think I'm going to start with that.
Good.
And yeah, then work from there, because, like you were just saying, you know, her identity in Christ is really the foundation of this whole thing. You know, you can't really go you can't get your money out if you don't know your identity.
So. Yes, yes, yes. And so when you do that, my thought is to read it out loud. Now, is some people like to read out loud, others don't. Is this something that she, you think, would read out loud, or that you would? Which way would you go?
I don't have a problem reading out loud. I'm not shy. So
okay.
I probably would take the initiative and go ahead and do that.
Okay, and the reason is there are different parts of the brain, like they're like even singing uses both parts of the brain. And and by the way, as I think about it, you know, along the way, you, if you are into music, it might be that there would be a song on occasion that would be perfect, that would tie in to one of the days. And so you can just think about that.
That's a good idea.
And yeah, there would be times that you wouldn't think of something, but there would be a song that would be perfect for certain topics. So just as you go along, because again, the more you associate, like for example, if I'm teaching, I like to try to have props, and a lot of times I use props because they are symbols of what you're talking about. So I'm just making a comment there. And so feel free to just add to or say, you know, when we come, if there's something that she would like to bring or a song that she thinks of that would be appropriate, that we could do it together. But my point is that at times, instead of just thinking, okay, like the first day being I'm adopted by God, it's like, instead of just saying, okay, we've now written something over here, I would go on and read it out loud. And one of you, and that way, you're hearing it, you're looking at it, both of you looking at your copy. So you're reading it, but you're also doing something with it. Years ago, I learned that 10% of what we remember is when it's hearing only. 30% is sight only. 50% is the combination of sight and sound, and then approximately 75% to 80% is sight, sound, and involvement in doing. Doing something with it. And so those are just thoughts of how to integrate to help add to the it's like experiencing whatever would be appropriate. And that would be helpful. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm actually, I don't know if you remember, but I'm in school right now working towards my degree in Christian counseling and psychology.
Wow.
And so I'm taking psychology right now. I started on Monday. And so the homework that I was doing today was going over the science of psychology and kind of like how the brain works. And so this was actually in my study today on reading out loud and, you know, kind of relating images to what you're reading or studying, and how, like you just said, like it makes more of an imprint in your brain when you do both of them at once.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
perfect. Perfect. And, you know, add to anything you want, but these specific I am statements are applicable for every true, authentic Christian. You know, there are people who will say, well, I can't be forgiven for so-and-so. But they're not seeing what the Bible says. See, that's a gift of grace. They, people think that they can't be forgiven. Maybe they are told what you did was unforgivable. And many people believe what people say. So we're really trying to change, I'm going to use the term, like tapes that were said, like it could be. One of the things that you would do is just say, you know, like, well, who has been the most influential people in your life? It could be positive or negative. Positive or negative influential. And like, what was most significant about what someone said, like, negatively? And then you have to evaluate, now, was that true? Was that true? Since her dad was verbally abusive, if she gets to where she could share that, what are the negative things that were said to you? I mean, I remember so distinctly, my dad said I was the cause of all problems in the family. And I'm thinking, where did that come from? I mean, I can tell you it, I, for some reason, was my father's lightning rod. My two sisters tell me this. You know, you were the lightning rod. You took all the pain, the things that Dad did. But at the time, when you're going through it, you don't know that. You're just survival. It's survival. Survival.
Yeah, that was her. She was definitely the lightning rod.
Mm. And so, you know, you the more you affirm her and say, well, let's consider what was said to you. And now let's look at what's true. What's really true? So think about what you know about her from the past. What could be the stumbling blocks? What could be the things that would be literally keeping her in bondage? Because at times we are a prisoner of our past.
Yeah.
And the more she becomes free to be the person God created her to be, not a prisoner of what someone has said, what someone did, because the Bible even says, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are the one that I praise. And if you want to quote that, it's Jeremiah 17:14, I think.
Okay.
The point is, when we realize, oh, healing is in God's hands, and he can heal us inside out.
Yeah.
So let her know. Yep, it is Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. And, you know, she may need to hear that. You know, save me and I will be saved.
Yeah.
For you are the one that I praise. That's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And that's his specialty. So she is so blessed to have you in her life, and you're going to be blessed as you walk with her prayerfully to freedom, because it's painful when people are not free, when they are still a prisoner of the past.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you, though, everyone who's listening, this is on your heart, where you would pray for our friend who's going to be reaching out to someone very close to her because she wants her to be set free. Pray for her.
We will send resources to tonight's caller. We do that free of charge because of your generous support of this ministry. We'll send Keys for Living called Depression, Walking from Darkness into the Dawn. Also want to mention the 31-day devotional called Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes. Those resources and others are available as you get in touch with us at 800-488-HOPE. Just order them. Again, the number is 800-488-4673, and they'll help you get a hold of those resources for yourself. Our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out the broadcast app called Hope for the Heart, and that's a free download. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.